Welcome to Issues of Life on Spirit 88.3 FM. 60 minutes of news, prophecies, music, and the Word every Saturday from 8 to 9 p.m. Get revived, inspired, motivated, and warned about the times you're living in. Prophecies of old are unfolding right before our eyes every day. Verses in the Bible are today's headline news. Don't be ignorant, but be an informed believer. Join Brother Eben for the next 60 minutes and be blessed. Get this edition and others from spiritissues.info.
We'll be going home.
A very good evening. This is Eben, and the program is Spirit's Issues of Life on Spirit 88.3 FM. And we thank God for another evening. It's always a privilege. And indeed, tonight we are starting a little late, but it's for good reasons. So we have some time now till 9 p.m. And I'll be with you as we round up the year. We have 3 more editions today and then 2 more. And that'll be it for Issues of Life for the year. And tonight, for the series we're on, we'll have to put a little hold on, but we'll still be addressing it later on. But tonight we are talking about something quite important. But first, let me get into the news, and then we'll get into these things that are pertinent regarding the times we are in. All right. So the news, if you follow the world news, you realize that the world isn't getting better and it's not going to get any better. But then let's look at this headline. You know, it's a bit worrying when you look at the trend, the way the youth, this generation, this war in Israel, the Hamas-Israel war is bringing up some real issues. And for those who watch the foreign, the U.S. news, some of the presidents of the universities, some of the top universities have been grilled in Congress, and it's been very embarrassing how anti-Semitism is really rife in the U.S. universities, open display of hatred for Jews and all that. Now there's even pressure on some of the universities, University of Pennsylvania and others, for their presidents to be sacked or they resign and all that, because you can see the hatred for the Jews happening on the campuses, and the leaders just, looked on and nothing really being put in place to, sanitize it or stop what's happening. So this news that says that a quarter of young Americans believe the Holocaust is a myth or exaggerated. It was a great crime in the 20th century, but Generation Z and millennial Americans remain hugely ignorant about the Holocaust. 1 in 10 American youth or young Americans believes that the Holocaust never happened. Can you imagine that? Whilst almost a quarter, 23%, believe it's a myth, or that the number of Jews who were killed has been exaggerated. Wow. Then meanwhile, 12% of respondents say they have never heard or didn't think they've heard the word Holocaust before. That's amazing. These are the shocking findings of the first 50-state survey of the Holocaust knowledge among Americans aged between 18 and 39 years. Some of the findings reveal that young Americans not only lack an understanding of what happened in Germany during the Second World War, but have bought into the conspiracy theories that have spread like wildfire on social media in recent years. That's really a worry. For example, 11% of respondents believe Jews were responsible for the Holocaust. Can you say? How can you say this? A figure that rises disturbingly to 19% in the state of New York. Nationally, 49% of respondents said they had come across Holocaust denial or distortion content on social media. There was also a significant lack of knowledge about the details of the Holocaust. Almost 3% were unaware that 6 million Jews were killed in the Holocaust, whilst more than a third, 36%, believed the death toll was under 2 million. Wow, wow, wow. It's not surprising because, you see, if you look at the protests that happened in Europe and then in the America, you know, you realize people just supporting the Palestinian cause just don't even know what they are supporting. And because there was, I mean, I remember one interview, one of such protests where a network was interviewing some of the students or the young people protesting, what is Hamas? The lady said they don't even know what Hamas is. I mean, so it's like, then what is the protest about then? You see, it's the hatred for Jews. That's the whole underlining factor. And the trend we've seen the last few weeks on the streets of Europe and America, with, you know, some states officially even flying the Palestinian flag and all that. I mean, it's really a worrying trend for the Jews, the hatred. But, you know, and for those who have been listening, I've been saying when this whole thing started that it's just the beginning of a greater thing. The hatred starts from there and it expands to all Christians as well. All right, so we move on to another news that says that Israel issues chilling warning to Europe regarding sleeper cells waiting to strike during the Christmas season. Israel has issued a chilling warning to 20 European countries over a massive network of Hamas agents operating undercover. It comes days after the EU warned of the huge risk of terrorist attacks this Christmas. It goes on to say that the fear of terror attacks on Christmas markets across Europe intensified after the Eiffel Tower bloodbath earlier this week. On Saturday night in Paris, a 24-year-old German-Filipino man was brutally stabbed to death by an ISIS supporter. Then we have this one that says that Israel has raised threat level against travel to 80 countries. A threat level has been raised in 80 countries for Israelis as a result of the Gaza war, according to a new list published by the National Security Council. Since the beginning of the war, we have increased efforts by, you know, all the, you know, the various hatred groups. So they are being cautious of their citizens traveling to some countries. You know, you see and hear and read some of these news, and sometimes biological male cyclists take top positions at women's cycling championships. You know, I don't blame the men who say they are women, pretend to be women, taking part in the women competition. I don't blame them. But the organizers and the those in authority that allow it, they are the ones who really, really, I think, have issues in their minds. Because, you see, I mean, you see a real man. I mean, there was one of this group, I mean, the first and second standing on the podium. And if you look at them, I mean, everything is a man. They're dressing and, you know, they wear the shorts, the tight clothing. I mean, it's everything. You see that this is a man standing there. From the underwear, everything shows this is a man standing there. And yet this person says, I'm a woman, competing with women and winning and being celebrated. You know, we've gotten to the point where sometimes you ask yourself, I mean, it's as if common sense is not really part of decision making at some levels now in the world. Because something that is so obvious and has never been an issue in the world, all of a sudden now it's as if we have to turn everything on its head. Now men can be women and women can be men and men can do everything in the name of I'm a woman. And yet, so is it, the most annoying part of this whole thing is those who are, they call themselves gender fluid. So when it fits them, they are women. When it doesn't fit them, they are men. And it's like, so when you want to get some favors, you pretend I'm a woman. And then, of course, you get those favors because I'm a woman. So, okay, you are giving the favors that a woman will get. And then when you've gotten the favors, now, say I'm a man. And it's like, come on, how can people just allow this type of fluidity to just move on in life, change us, and when you feel like, just to take advantage of situations? But that's the world we are in. That's the world we are in. All right, then we go to this one that says, China's latest crackdown on underground churches is proving perilous. So religious freedom in China has been in a downward spiral since the Chinese President Xi Jinping took office in 2012 due to the all-encompassing controls exerted by Beijing. Religions deemed as foreign, including Christianity, Islam, and Tibetan Buddhism, face high levels of persecution. Chinese citizens who practice their faith find themselves increasingly surveilled, unable to fully exercise their rights, and fear for their lives. House churches, also commonly referred to as underground churches, are Protestant churches in China that exist outside the government-sanctioned Three Self Patriotic Movement, TSPM. Although house churches are not politically recognized and often risk being shut down, they have enjoyed limited freedom, degree of freedom to operate since 1980s. But in recent days, the current president's regime has begun limiting many of these previously enjoyed freedoms. Unregistered house churches in China have become government targets. Raids on Sunday services and small groups are now a common occurrence. Online worship or prayer meetings are disrupted by police. Hotels dare not release spaces to churches for fear of government reprisal. This latest government crackdown is proving perilous to Chinese believers there. Since the beginning of the Xi sinicization campaign in 2015 to make churches more Chinese in character, religions in the country have had to conform to the Chinese Communist Party's CCP's ideology and surrender many autonomy to the government. Removal of religious displays and symbols, flag raising ceremonies, red teams, that songs about the CCP, competitions, and patriotic education for preachers and clergy have been imposed. Some churches in Jiangxi province have even been forced to replace portraits of Jesus with Xi Jinping's photo. Failing to conform to that can affect your social benefits. Wow. This news is technical, but it's important. Let me read the news and then I'll add some information to it as well. Nude apps that use artificial intelligence to undress women in photos are soaring in popularity. And listen well. Apps and websites that use artificial intelligence to undress women in photos are soaring in popularity, according to researchers. In September alone, 24 million people visited undressing websites, according to the social network analysis company Graphica. Many of these undressing or nudify services use popular social networks for marketing, according to Graphica. For instance, since the beginning of this year, the number of links advertising undressing apps increased more than 2,400% on social media, including X and Reddit, the researchers said. The services use AI to recreate an image so that the person is nude. Many services only work on women. These apps are part of a worrying trend of non-consensual pornography being developed and distributed because of advancements in artificial intelligence, a type of fabricated media known as deepfake pornography. Its proliferation runs into serious legal and ethical hurdles, as the images are often taken from, and listen this part, as the images are taken from social media and distributed without consent, the consent, control, and knowledge of the subject. One image posted to X advertising an undressing app used language that suggests customers could create nude images and then send them to the person whose image was digitally undressed, inciting harassment. We are seeing more and more of this being done by ordinary people with Ordinary Targets, said Eva Galpin, Director of Cybersecurity at the Electronic Frontier Foundation. You see it among high school children and people who are in the colleges as well. Many victims never find out the images, but even those who do may struggle to get law enforcement to investigate or find the funds to pursue legal action. The trend and the technology is there. You know, so for those who know this, people are beginning to remove their pictures online. You know, people have been sharing their pictures, social media, pictures everywhere. Now, the danger is people can take your picture and then use your image to go and do all the things I talked about. And even there's the video aspects where they use the same technology, AI, to create serious videos and put you in it. And it's virtually difficult to disprove that it's not you. And they use it to blackmail people. They use it to, so someone wants to tarnish your image and destroy your image publicly, they use your image, create this whole AI pornography thing with you in it, and the picture and everything, the system will make it fit you exactly. The skin color and your image and everything will match. And when they release it, I mean, how do you prove to people that it's not you? And you see, so by the time you can even defend yourself, people, your image is destroyed. And people won't even believe you because the thing is too real to say that it's not you. So one advice they give is people should be wary of sharing their pictures online, pictures. See, for some, it's so easy to get various angles of their pictures to even make it easier to do these generations. So you see, people should be careful. The ladies especially, because they are the main victims, the ladies. You know, every Sunday they'll take a picture, put it online. You know, the world has changed, the times have changed. With AI now, people should be wary of the things they share about themselves online. And, you know, pictures. For instance, now I don't see my WhatsApp profile picture because I just use natural images, flowers and birds, and I don't put my picture there again. And obviously, because the things that can be done against you if someone really targets you is enormous. And don't think these things are way back. I mean, so it's like Ghana, this can't happen. The technology is everywhere. So if some bad people want to sabotage you here in this country, in this Kumasi here, it can be done because the systems are available online, the software is available. So a little plea is the photo lovers and the social media publishers who just love to publish everything they take of themselves. The times are no longer the same. Now we have a lot of bad guys and bad applications that can be used to really destroy and crash you. Oh yes, if really they want to bring you down, they just have to post it, share it. It will go viral. And see, your image is dented. Oh, yeah, people will not believe you if you say it's not me, it's not me. I mean, the more you say it's not me, the more it will be spreading. So, see, just if your picture is not online, who is going to take it to do it for you? I mean, do it against you. So, just a little advice. It's important we... So you know the season we are in, and then you know how to also live your life and do some things. If you don't put your picture online, it doesn't change who you are anyway. Okay, so we go to this one. Internet of Trust. This one, inside the United Nations plan to control speech online. This is one of the worrying trends. We have the powerful UN agency has unveiled a plan to regulate social media and online communication while cracking down on what it describes as false information and conspiracy theories, sparking alarm among free speech advocates and top U.S. lawmakers. In this 59-page report released this month, the UN Educational, Cultural and Scientific Organization, UNESCO, outlined a series of concrete measures which must be implemented by all stakeholders, governments, regulatory authorities, civil society, and the platforms themselves. This approach includes the imposition of global policies through institutions such as the government and businesses, designed to stop the spread of various forms of speech whilst promoting objectives such as cultural diversity and gender equality. Cultural diversity, gender equality. In particular, the UN agency aims to create an internet of trust by targeting what it calls misinformation, disinformation, hate speech, and conspiracy theories. Examples of expression flagged to be stopped or restricted include concerns about elections, public health measures, and advocacy that could constitute incitements to discrimination. Critics are warning that allegations of disinformation and conspiracy theories have increasingly been used by powerful law forces in government and big tech to silence true information and even core political speech. Just this month, the U.S. House Judiciary Committee released a report blasting the pseudoscience of disinformation. Among other concerns, the committee found this pseudoscience has been weaponized by what lawmakers refer to as censorship industrial complex. The goal is to silence constitutionally protected political speech, mostly by conservatives. The pseudoscience of disinformation is now and has always been nothing more than a political ruse, most frequently targeted at communities and individuals holding views contrary to the prevailing narratives, states the congressional report. The weaponization of disinformation, pseudo-experts, and bureaucrats. Indeed, many of the policies called for by the UNESCO have already been implemented by U.S.-based digital platforms, often at the behest of the Biden administration, the latest congressional report makes clear. On Capitol Hill, lawmakers and nevertheless expressed alarm about the new UNESCO plan. And you see, the issue of disinformation and misinformation and hate speech, you know, who defines what is right and what is wrong? You see, it's about what they say is wrong and not what you think is right. So if they say LGBT is right and you say the opposite, they can flag you down. You can be blocked, your account can be suspended and all sorts of, you know, this is the issue with this monster approach of they controlling what you say. So say what we want you to say and don't say what you think is right to say. So they set the narrative and then they define it as anything contrary is a hate speech. So if you say something against what they perceive as whatever right and you say the truth, even if it's the truth, and they have defined it as wrong, it becomes hate speech. And in some instances, people have been charged criminally for hate speech and all that for saying something which is obviously right. But you see, this is the world they are pushing us to. And when it's coming from the UN, it becomes worrying because then they are going to push it into the world system. And when it comes from the world system, the worry is politicians always love power and control. So as soon as it comes, they always want to control. I mean, that one is more of, it's part of every politician, even here in Ghana. It's all part, they all politicians are all the same. They want to control and dominate. So when now the UN is going to bring such policies of control, governments across the world immediately will take advantage of it and even add more. So now they restrict some things, they restrict some speeches, they restrict some words and all that. And this is where the whole thing is, conservatives and Christians are the main targets. See, so because it's the liberals who push these things as a way of protecting themselves and protecting their agenda. So, and most of the time it's the conservatives and the Christians who are the ones who always seem to be the problem that these liberals have issues with. So, well, these are the times we are in. We just one day at a time, we see how things go. And now, this is this worrying one, the last news item. A poll was conducted, and young people are open to banning the Bible as part of hate speech. You see the irony of this thing, the UN one I just read. When you, the liberals, they set what is hate speech, they set it as a trap for Christians and conservatives. But when the other side determine that they say things which are against the Christians and the conservatives, that one you rarely have anyone coming to the defense of the Christians and the conservatives. But in this poll, it says that young people are open to banning the Bible as part of hate speech. How can the Bible be hate speech? Just because it says something they don't want to hear. I mean, stop fornicating. LGBT is a sin. This. I mean, these are the things that makes them hate the Bible. So they will say that it's a hate speech. In John 15:18, Jesus said, "If the world hates you, know that it has hated me before it hated you." But why? Jesus provides the answer in verse 19. "If you were of the world would love you as its own. But because you are not of the world, I chose you out of the world. Therefore, the world hates you." Can this be avoided according to Jesus? I would say no. He said, "If they persecuted me, which they did, they will also persecute you." That's verse 20, John 15:20. Scripture repeatedly informs us that we will be hated, rejected, persecuted for our faith. So we shouldn't be surprised. Following Jesus means to counter all of man's natural desires, making it both controversial and offensive to the unconverted. And the Bible, authoritative and eternal, does not change the way with the times. So as the times evolve further away from the adherence to Bible standards and mandates, Christians can only expect pushback to intensify and become more common. The world doesn't necessarily hate you, it hates the truth you proclaim. A recent poll conducted by Whitestone Insights asked 2,088 UK adults if they agreed with this statement. Unless the offending parts can be edited out, books containing what some perceive as hate speech should be banned from general sale, including, if necessary, religious texts such as the Bible. The result showed a substantial amount of Brits agreed with the statement above, with 18 to 34-year-olds making up 23% of those who agreed, and 35 to 54-year-olds making up 17% of those who agreed. These statistics reflect what we already see in the UK. Street preachers, preaching Bible and pro-life advocates silently praying have been arrested. Balvi Rasinin, former Minister for Interior, who was acquitted of hate speech and charges for posting a Bible verse on Twitter, or now X. Hate crimes against Christians have increased throughout Europe, and persecution remains widespread in other parts of the world. So an uptick in the Bible being classified as a hate speech to the point of people being open to banning it only follows suit. But the larger issues are the Christians folding under the pressure of these claims. So it goes on, and then, that's the reality. But the last part, it says that, first, the positive world. In 1994 and earlier, where Christians were almost viewed as upstanding citizens, and their moral norms were relatively the same as the norms of the society. Next is the neutral world, 1994 to 2014, where Christians generally had no positive or negative effects on the society at large. And finally, the negative world, 2014 to present, where Christians are not mostly negative, but serve as a threat to the current norms of the secular society. And, this is where the issue comes in, because, Aaron Wren, that's a senior fellow at the American Reformer, wrote, "Where once there was a culture war between Christianity and secular society, today there is a culture war within evangelicalism itself." So, years back, yes, as I just read, Christians were seen as a standard. Christian values were the standard. So you even have countries, laws of countries, including Ghana, which are, entrenched and all that's taking its roots from the Word of God, the Bible. But now you start hearing, even in America now, there are calls that, the constitution should be changed, they should amend it and all that, Now the hatred for the fact that Christian values are the foundation of the society is being attacked vehemently. You know, and these are all the things we are seeing where people get offended by the fact that the Bible is the basis for which some laws, even in some countries, are depending on. And it's interesting, but well, not too interesting though, because we are not surprised. We shouldn't be surprised, because these are the things we were told would happen. This is what the Bible has told us about, and I believe we should understand these things. As Christians, you know, we just have to be alert, and we just have to be wise. Depending on how the system goes, we move, and then we know how to do things. All right, so let me play this one of my songs about Jerusalem. I'll be back. This is Eben on Issues of Life.
We'll gather them again, from the north, from the south, from the east and the west, heart to heart and hand in hand,
on the road to Jerusalem.
Sing shalom.
Sing shalom. In the promised land, we will pray for the peace of Jerusalem, the city of our God.
He himself is our shalom. Now Jew and Gentile are as one. He is the vine, we are the branches. We're grafted in to the sun.
On the road to Jerusalem.
Sing shalom.
Sing shalom. In the promised land, we will pray for the peace of Jerusalem, the city of our God.
For Zion's sake, do not be silent. We're born for such a time as this.
So let your light shine in the darkness,
and the love of God be manifest. Can you hear Yeshua calling?
The voice of Elohim.
The Spirit of God has come upon us. This is our destiny.
The heart and hand in hand,
on our way to the promised land, Yeshua the Messiah. Now we are one,
together in the fear of the Lord,
the fear of the Lord.
On the road to Jerusalem,
sing shalom,
sing shalom. In the promised land, we'll pray for the peace of Jerusalem, the city of our God.
On the road
to Jerusalem,
sing shalom,
sing shalom. In the promised land, we will pray for the peace of Jerusalem, the city of our God. In the promised land, we will pray for the peace of Jerusalem, the city of our God.
On the road
to Jerusalem,
sing shalom.
In the promised land, we will pray for the peace of Jerusalem, the city of our God.
Welcome back, and this is Issues of Life on Spirit 88.3 FM. I'm Eben. All right, last week I talked about you know, challenges, people facing issues in life, and you know, especially the fact that when we are in the last month of the year brings a lot of emotional, you know, challenges for some. They review the year and it's like they are failing, things haven't been well, the things, the targets they set, the things they wish they could do, they've not been able to do it, and all that. It brings a lot of, you know, uneasiness and mistrust. Some begin to question God, there was a prophecy, this, you promised me this, and this hasn't happened. A lot of issues come up. You know, but this week, the Lord has been pushing me to talk about something, and that's also very important because we are all going to need it. We all need it, and we are all going to need it even as time goes on. And this is the issue of trust, you know, trusting in the Lord in times of uncertainty, in times of difficulties, in times when it's like there's no hope and all that. Trusting, we have to learn to trust Him. You know, it's a process. It's a decision. It's something you deliberately decide to trust in Him, because you have options sometimes to trust in other things, trust in systems, trust in politicians, trust in your, you know, friends, your parents, others, people. But, you know, to decide to trust in God is a deliberate decision that a Christian has to make, that I am going to trust in God. And oftentimes it will look like it's going to come with consequences, and people would say things, people would accuse you. There's this interesting episode in the Bible. Let me just quickly run through some of the verses in this, I think, 2 Kings 18, where it talks of Hezekiah, where 18, let me start from 5. It says, he trusted in the Lord, God of Israel, so that after him was none like him among all the kings of Judah, nor any that were before him. For he clave to the Lord and departed not from following him, but kept his commandments, which the Lord commanded Moses. And the Lord was with him, and he prospered whithersoever not. And you read further, you realize he was under siege. And, you know, when this siege came, you know, they were laughing at him that, so are you trusting in this God? I mean, this God that you are trusting, is it the one going to save you? Mocking and all that. But, you know, Hezekiah just held on to his trust in the Lord. You can read further 18 and then to the 19. The full story is there. But you see, the issue of the trust by Hezekiah, it paid off, because he trusted in the Lord and he faced ridicule. The enemy came and was ridiculing that this God. Oh. And you see, so God now takes it upon himself that, yes, I have been ridiculed, so I'll pay back. And God fought. And this is the episode where you realize God did this. One of the greatest slaughters in the Bible. One angel killed 185,000 people. You know, it's one of the most fascinating killings, where an angel kills 185,000. It's not a small army, but just one angel was able to do that. But you see, trusting in God, it's not an easy thing, because sometimes, I mean, it will look like people, quote unquote, people will think you are foolish. People will think that you are not correct, because it will look, everybody is going this way, you alone, you say, no, I'm trusting God, so I will not. Everybody is going to see a malam to solve their problems for them. Everybody is doing this so that they can get someone to marry. Everybody is doing this, whatever it is, so that they can get a child. And you still stand by your belief and your trust in God, and it's like, you know, everybody is saying whatever, insulting you, ridiculing you, mocking you. It's not an easy thing to see yourself as someone who is trusting God, especially when the situation is really a difficult one, and like everybody is looking at you. And they've given their solutions, that if indeed you use their solutions, you may get at least some solution that will work out. But you say you want to trust in God. It's a difficult thing, because it will look like you are the only one at that point who is a believer. Because you even hear other believers who even say that, oh, wait, this I'm ready, and I say, so far, baby, you know, people, Christians, who even so-called believers, will tell you that, you know, there are circumstances which demand alternatives. You can't put everything in God's care, you know, because God will delay sometimes, and you just can't waste your time depending and trusting him forever. You know, so you, all these challenges will come up. But you see, in as much as you may not be facing a situation where you really need to trust God for a solution, I mean, but at one point in time or the other, all of us would need to trust God. Especially, you see, as the world begins to evolve into more chaos and things become unpredictable and uncertainties keep increasing by the day, it's better for us to start trusting him, learning how to trust him, so that at a time when we even need him for greater things, we are not used. It's not like it's now that we are going to learn how to trust God, but we've been trusting him even in little things. We are trusting in God. See, so it's a, we have to start depending on us, on him, that we are trusting in him. We should make it a point that we are going to trust in him. We have to learn how to trust in him as the days go by. See, you don't wait till some things happen before now you are going to learn how to trust him. Yes, in the heat of the situation, you still have to trust him. But you see, let's learn the process. Let's learn the art of trusting in God as believers, as part of like our daily, it's like it's part of us. We trust in God. That even as you are going to town, you are just trusting God. You see, it shouldn't be some wild miracle before you trust God. No. You see, it should be a part of us. You see, because you see, when we adopt that lifestyle of trusting in God, it helps us to live by faith. It helps us to live by faith, because you know that in trusting God, that means there's a God to be trusted. So if you say you are trusted, that means you believe in God. You believe that God indeed exists. It's not just a myth. It's not just some fairy tale. It's not just some storylines or something. But you indeed believe that, yes, there is a God I can hold on to, that I can trust his word. His word says this, so I can trust. I like the words of this hymn. No, let me just quickly run through it. You know, when we walk with the Lord, when you walk with the Lord in the light of his word, what a glory he sheds on our way. Whilst we do his good will, he abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there is no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Not a shadow can rise, not a cloud in the skies, but a smile quickly drives it away. Not a doubt or a fear, not a sigh or a tear can abide whilst we trust and obey. Oh, trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Then in fellowship sweet we will sit at his feet, or we'll walk by his side in the way. What he says we will do, and where he sends we'll go. Never fear, only trust and obey. Never fear, only trust and obey. Trust and obey. There's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. And then so this other song too says, you know, 'tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word, just to rest upon his promise, just to know that saith the Lord Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I proved him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more. You know, the more we trust him, the more our relationship gets enhanced or strengthened. Because you see, there's this verse in Psalms that says that it's the people who trust in God, they get his attention. I'm paraphrasing, sort of. You see, in trusting him, it's a way of calling on him that, God, It's you alone that I'm depending on. It's you alone. So don't disappoint me. It's one way of saying it. You see, and he pays attention to those who trust him wholeheartedly. Not partial, not just pretending, but genuinely trusting in God. He knows it. And he responds. You know, the reason why we must learn to trust him is we'll get into situations where you realize man is limited in helping you. That's even if he wants to help you, and even if he can help you, there's still a limit beyond which a man cannot help you. There are issues and situations where it's just obvious that except God intervenes, man cannot do anything about it. So in such issues, in such situations, if you are not trusting, you don't believe that you can trust in God, you don't have the faith, you don't have the God that you can trust in, then what happens? Then what happens? You see, so the issue of trust is so important and paramount, because in trusting him, we establish that relationship with him. In trusting him, we make it more of God, I'm looking up to you. I'm looking up to you. You know, the psalm, if you read the psalms, he said so many times, I mean, many, many verses where, you know, he talks of in a prayer form, preserve me, O God, for indeed do I put my trust, show thy marvelous loving kindness and all that. I mean, various psalms. God, I mean, realize that. I like this one. It says Psalm 20 verse 7 says, some trust in chariots, some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord. That's in the name of the Lord that we can trust. In the name of the Lord that we can trust. See, David, at the time of writing these things, was a king. And imagine a king, a powerful king, and yet he saw himself as nothing because he needed the help of God. It's easy for, you know, the status of David and the wars he won and the might he, the warrior that he was and all that. One would have been taken by pride. It's like, I don't need God. But irrespective of the successes and the power that he wielded, he trusted in God. And it runs through a lot of the Psalms. So he realized that this was his lifestyle. It's not that only in situations before he runs to God and says, I trust you. But it was part of him. It was part of him. And that is the way we should look at this issue of trusting in God. You see, I mean, this is one of his prayers, Psalm 25 verse 20. Oh, keep my soul and deliver me. Let me not be ashamed, for I put my trust in thee. You know, these are some of the prayers are so, I mean, profound. You realize that if you pray these prayers, God will look up to you. God will look at your situation. And you see, in building ourselves, in trusting him, we should realize that we are men. We should just know that we are men. We have limitations. We have weaknesses. We have failures. And all. We are men. And he is God. So in as much as others are calling on their other gods, their small gods, the small jinn gods, and their powers, and you know, the world we are in now, even at the school level, people are using powers. In the marketplace, people are selling with powers, with things. Business level, people are doing things before they go to meetings. People are drinking concoctions. People are drinking blood. People are doing all sorts of things. The world is now a very evil place. So if you are a Christian and you are just floating free atom, you are spiritual, you are not serious, you are just existing, when the wind blows you, it blows you anyway. No. You will struggle as a Christian. And actually they can kill you easily because you don't even have you are just existing. Spiritually, you are just not strong and fortified in the Lord. But see, as people are getting deeper and deeper into these other alternative ways of strengthening themselves spiritually, we have a stronger way of building ourselves up. We have a stronger power we can depend on, that we can trust in daily. Even when we are asleep, we can trust that he will protect us. When the situations are rough, we can trust that he will take us through the storm. When the situations are virtually hopeless, we can still trust him that he will take us through. You see, we should learn to trust him. We should learn to trust him. Sometimes, you know, today I saw one short clip somewhere, and it's a Christian, I mean, program, and this lady was going to work, and the Lord was showing someone how he protects his children. So this lady rushing to work, his friend is picking her together, they go, and they say, okay, let's pray before we go. So the Lord told this man watching, the Lord showing this other man, like a third party, what the whole scene, said, today, these two people are going to die. That this lady and the friend, they are going to die. He said, oh God, protect them. He said, it depends on how, what they do and what they say. So when they prayed, now God has been invited to intervene. In whilst they were praying, the friend was making fun of God, and so the protection means the one who was praying and believed and trusted in God for protection, God now had the mandate to protect. So God did this thing, you know, the drink poured, touched the drink, poured on her. Of course, miracle, I mean, no one sees it. So that means the dress is soiled, then takes the phone from the bag. So even they sat in the car and went, I was like, oh, I left my phone. So the lady dropped her off. In coming back, the other one gets an accident and dies. And you see, this is how, you see, there are a lot of things. And this lady now was blaming God. God, you spoiled my day and blah, 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 blah. But you see, if we are trusting God, even when things don't go away, one of the things we should learn, I'm finishing with this, is when we know we are trusting in God and he is with us, we should be mindful of what we say, even when things don't go as we expect. Because the things that don't go the way we expect, oftentimes are things that is saving us from an issue we have no idea about. It may not be even the same day. It may be in the future. God is just rearranging your ways. But in rearranging your ways, it has to be an unfortunate situation. It has to be a disappointment. It has to be a situation which is not pleasant. So you may think God has disappointed you, God has failed you. But in trusting God, we should know that even when things don't go our way, let's still trust him, because even that decision that didn't go your way, let's still trust him for his good work behind the scenes that you are not aware of. And that's one of the key principles when we are trusting God. We should learn to trust him even when we are not happy with the solution. Let's still trust, because behind the scenes, he knows something you do not know. That is God, sovereign. He knows what you don't know. But because he's not unveiling the whole picture to you, you think, oh, God has disappointed you. God didn't answer your prayer, or God has failed me and all that. Let's be wary of such negative impressions and negative words when it seems that God is failing, or God has failed, or God is delaying, or God has disappointed us. No, if we are trusting him, trust him fully. Trust him fully. And I believe, as we do these things, he himself will help us to build our trust in him. As we decide we want to trust him, he would help us to even know how to trust him in more greater situations and bigger situations and all that. Wow, so soon. Time flies. This is Eben, and I believe you've learned something this evening. This is recorded. It will be put on spiritissues.info. Last week's edition 2 is there in the Telegram group. You can also listen to it there. So you can listen to this later on if you want to, or download it as well. So God willing, next week I'll be coming your way. And I believe he himself will help us as we trust him every day.
I need thee every hour, most gracious Lord. No tender voice like thine can be.